Reformed Church.
Yes, you know what? I did want to share something with you, just really along the exact same lines that I was just praying. You know, I was sharing with you guys last service about, you know, a man that judges another and then does actually the same things himself. Like, what a shame it is to live like that, right? To not see what Jesus has done for you and live in such a way that you judge people by works that supposedly they may be doing to try to achieve some kind of righteousness. And you judging yourself in the same way, trying to live by a work to try to achieve some righteousness, when all along, right, there is a Savior that came and died on the cross and made salvation and righteousness available as a gift, and yet so many people working for this stuff. And what the Lord tells them in verse number one of Romans chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore, it says, you're inexcusable, O man, whoever you are that judge, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. Like, you know, people don't really realize that when they have that sort of mentality like that, that is just a works for righteousness, right? How they are really just, you know, you condemn yourself needlessly, right? Because it's a condemnation that not even the Lord wants for you. You condemn yourself just because of the mentality, right? And then he says, for you that judge, you do the same things. And then in verse 2, he says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. So we were talking about how when God judges, and it's really coming also from verse number 16 of that same chapter. He says that when God judges, he judges according to truth, and the truth is the gospel. So the Lord, the way that he judges, you know, righteous and unrighteousness, right, good and evil, is through the lens of Jesus Christ and him crucified, those that would believe and those that do not believe it, right? But the part where it gets even better is in verse number 3. He says, and think you this, O man, that judge them which do the same, which do such things and do the same, that you will escape the judgment of God, which is according to truth, right? He says, will you that judge that way, do you think you that judge another, that you would escape the judgment of God that is according to truth, when God is judging you according to the truth about Jesus Christ? And you that judge, that are judging the other, if that person hasn't accepted Jesus and you haven't either, you're just condemning yourself. Because but really, this judgment, you really see in verse number 4, that you really see the cause of it, right? Verse number 4 really spells it out. It says, because they despise, or you despise the riches of his goodness, right? You despise the riches of his goodness. And we won't get into it, you know, maybe, you know, the Lord willing, on Sunday. But, you know, I'll show you how the riches of his goodness, that goodness there is really, that could be translated the finished work of Jesus Christ. Like, the goodness of God is clearly shown in what God did through Jesus Christ. In other words, goodness of God, like the love of God, it actually puts it in the same verse, was manifested in Jesus. Like, that's how you know the goodness of God, is because you see what Jesus has done. It says, so do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long suffering, like waiting that people would hear, right, so that no one would perish. He said, not knowing, it says, that it is that goodness, like us understanding that goodness of God, that leads men to repentance. In other words, men judge one another, and they speak to one another, and they try to help one another, and they even try to help themselves to be acceptable to God and all this stuff by the works that they do. But not even understanding that if they were to just see the goodness of God, that really is what does it. It's not obviously the works. It's not attempting to be pleasing. It's just seeing what God has done for us. Just simply put, and that's what he says. It says, or it says, do you despise, or despise you, it says, the riches of his goodness, not knowing, he says, that it is that goodness of God, if you could see it, that leads you to repentance. And you know, the one thing that I'll leave you with is, you know, it's such a popular thing. It's such a popular thing, and I have mentioned it before, but it's such a popular thing for when you've done something that you consider, oh, I just did this terrible thing, or I did this thing that I really feel bad about what happened, or whatever it is, right? That we really, we tend to accept And I even wrote it down just because I like the way I wrote it down when I was thinking about it. It's like we accept almost like the bad luck or the misfortune that would come from things that you have done in the past, you know, from actions. In other words, that people have a tendency, right, of judging one another just based solely on just their actions. And we judge ourselves then based on just actions, right? But it is what the Lord is saying is so true that, you know, have we, like, to despise another word, because that word can be taken in a very negative context, but it's really is, do you not consider the goodness of God? Like, if in your thinking, you don't consider the goodness of God, like, you're not even taking that into account in your thinking, like, of course you're going to feel condemned. Of course that's where guilt is going to come from. But that whole line of thinking can be so gone from our mentality, like the whole misfortune, and people talk about very, very regularly today, the karma that comes from what you do, right? It just, like, all of this stuff, people just, the humanistic, earthly way to judge situations is just to judge based on the actions of people. But he says, you know, have you not considered the goodness of God, right? And if we could, really, that's why Reformed Church exists, right? To teach people to consider the goodness of God. And if you can get people to consider, like, consider this. Like, look at what God is saying about what he has made available for you. Consider Jesus. And then, obviously, the decision is theirs, right? But for us to give them that clear consideration, like, look at what Jesus has done. It's not about what you have done. It's about what Jesus Christ has done. And give them the opportunity just to consider something apart from their humanistic, earthly way of judging things and judging themselves. But, you know, that goodness of God is such a cool thing, because when you in your thinking, you consider the goodness of God, it does away with so much fluff and bad, erroneous thinking and erroneous conclusions that you jump to in your own life. If you just consider what he's done, consider the goodness of God. And that's why I love the way he puts it. In verse 4, he says, do you despise or do you not consider at all the riches, the way he puts it, like the abundance of the goodness of God. Obviously saying, I've done it all for you. Like, I've rectified every problem. You're not considering the riches of my goodness, and you're not seeing that's where my patience and my long suffering comes from, waiting for you to be able to see, get a notion and consider my goodness, not knowing that it is my goodness, right, that will lead you to be able to change your mind about Jesus Christ. You know, it was funny, while we were driving, I think it was, we were on our way to Texas, you see signs all the time, like, you know, are you going to hell or heaven? Like, that doesn't explain to anyone the goodness of God. That, like, you can't scare someone into the kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of God is received through faith. Like, faith doesn't come from fear, right? So, like, there's such a thing still, you know, people have a tendency of trying to scare people to listen by threatening them with hell. But yet, it's the exact thing that God doesn't want them thinking about. It's not about, like, them receiving a notion that who God is someone that wants to condemn them to punishment eternal in an eternal damnation, right? It's what God is trying to get you to see is what he's done for you. Consider my goodness, right? So if we can, it would be awesome in the years to come for us to see a shift. And I really do believe that we'll see that. But to see a shift in the body of Christ where it'll be giving people, Christians alike and also people that don't believe in Jesus, to give them the ability to be able to consider the goodness of God. And if we can do that, that is what he says, obviously, is very, very true. That is what will lead people to repentance, to change, for people to have their minds changed about who Jesus is and what he's done. That's really the only job we have, right? To change people's perception of how they see Jesus Christ. And if we can do that, we've done the one job that God has given us to do, right? To preach a gospel that would get people to change their minds about Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.